See this episode's show notes for our unique promo code to get up to 2 months of free podcasting service with Libsyn when you sign up for a new account. Get your show on Apple and Spotify. Get helpful stats and all the support you need to sound your very best.
This is Jed McKay, and you're listening to Into the Night, the Moon Knight podcast.
Hello, Lainey listeners.
Welcome.
Welcome back. Hello, everybody. Yes, and Rebecca, welcome back. You are listening to Into the Night, the Moon Knight podcast. This is episode 348. And of course, you're with your high priestess, can't you, Rebecca and Ray. Rebecca, yeah, sorry, it caught me a bit off guard. There was a bit of the video froze, the intro video.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know when it was, yeah.
I thought it was because we weren't used to this anymore. We were like, oh, it's been a while.
Well, it's certainly.
What's going on? What's this podcasting look? I mean, you've obviously been, I've had a bit of a break from it. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, look, and me too as well. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. It has been a while. I think it's late February we released the last episode, Rebecca.
So. Yeah, probably. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. So that's okay. No, well, you know, we're here. We've got a humdinger for everyone because you don't get one, but you get two for the price of admission. We're going to be looking at the latest and greatest from Jed McKay and Alessandro Capuccio, Vengeance of the Moon Knight, issues 3 and 4. Because, Rebecca, you did say they got released in quick succession.
Yeah. There was only a two-week break between them, and we were struggling to find a time to record for 3. And then it was like, oh, we may as well do them both.
Exactly. So we've got that in store. But, of course, listeners, a big thank you to our patroonies. A huge thank you for everyone for supporting the show. We have been a little bit sparse lately, but I have, I mean, if you're a patroonie, you'll know how I've kind of arranged membership so far. It's been put on hold, but hopefully we'll get back on track soon, sooner rather than later. But really appreciate all your support as always, and, you know, just keeping the community active on our social media platforms as well. So big thank you to everyone there.
Yeah.
Mm. Of course, before that, I mean, it has been a while, Rebecca. We had a little bit of a chat before we went on air. But, how are things? What have you been kind of like? Anything you can recommend you've been reading or watching or what's been?
I think the world's been watching Shogun, right?
Oh, yes, they have.
So, I mean, it doesn't seem like a very deep pull to say I've been watching and enjoying Shogun. But for me, I've really only been watching that Bad Batch and The New Look, which is one that nobody else is watching. So Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh,
right? Okay,
I've got to watch it.
Right,
now.
It's about he plays Christian Dior, and I'm not interested in fashion at all.
Really?
I should just point out, but it's all about all the French fashion houses during the France Nazi occupied France and the post-war period and how fashion helped give France its hope back. So it's kind of interesting because I didn't think about it. I literally just went and watched it for Ben Mendelsohn, and he's great. So
he's fantastic. Then did you see Talos in Christian Dior, or did you?
Yes, I did. Well, they're very, very like him. Yeah, you know, yeah. And Maisie Williams plays his sister. That's literally all I've been doing and working and being miserable. But
that sounds good. Maisie Williams, Arya, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Game of Thrones. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
we
How
are
about
also
you. You've been a bit more cheerful week for you,
cheerful, busy, just you know, just the usual kind of fam stuff. So Finn's been enjoying kind of kindy. Just taking care of Millie. She's kind of getting older. She's growing up. She's really good. She's starting to she's starting to get on 2 feet, not walking.
Oh, just, wow.
Yeah, supporting herself like off the edge of the couch, that yeah. sort of thing. So, so that's exciting. And yeah, you know, we've got we've got school holidays coming up. So,
it's like Christmas. I know you're the other side of the world, but that's no, too much.
Yeah, it's December here. No,
no. Yeah, yeah, no. Imagine
No, no, but we're gonna head down to Melbourne,
catch up with
my sister and her little one, so Finn's cousin. So that'll be for her birthday. So that'll be cool. So we're looking forward to that as well. Also, listeners, have to mention we are live streaming as we usually do with new releases. So come on in and drop us a line. We have one from our Valley Petrini here, Mario. Hey, Mario. Morning, afternoon, evening, all. Yes, Mario. Hello, good night, goodbye.
It's lunchtime for me.
But thank you for joining us, Mario. And thank you for your comments as well. We have them. Can't wait to – I haven't read them yet because I always like to surprise myself by reading them.
Yeah, yeah.
So can't wait to read them, Mario. But, yes, nothing much other than that. Rebecca, I would say other than just the usual family stuff, X-Men 97 I'm watching and I'm really loving.
Oh, is it cool? So we have this 2-week gap with no Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've not really got to, because one of our banks offers it free.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that. So I cancelled my subscription, which ended in the end of March, and then the bank one just kicked in this week. So that's definitely something waiting for me. So
yeah. I've got to say, and without for fear of overselling it, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's really good.
I have to admit, I'd never really watched the original very much.
Okay. Well, I mean,
that's around when I started my career.
Yes. Yeah.
So
sure.
I wasn't watching much TV at all. Yeah. But I kind of into the idea of it. Like, obviously, I've seen the odd episode and I do want to go back and watch it. So.
Well, I think I've been watching some of the original because it's been like, ages since I've seen it. But what I think is one of the greatest pulls is just how well they've done it to make it seamless, like as in a continuation of it. And it still has all the elements of like a 90s cartoon, but it's been kind of modernized a little bit because obviously animation has progressed since the 90s.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You get things tidied up, but like the voices, the story.
I like that they really do good. A lot of the comics storylines. Yeah. Like they adapt a lot of the comic stuff. So yeah.
It's really good. And I think it's been getting mainly positive reviews. I've heard a few people not like it. To be honest, I think they're really nitpicking. I think it's fantastic. I think it's one of the better things that have come out from, you know, from the MCU in a while. So, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, and cool.
Hopefully we see Moon Knight in it somehow.
I mean, more like to see Iron Fist, I would say. But yeah.
Well, apparently
he has more of a connection with the X-Men is all I mean. So. Yeah.
Well, no, you are more than correct there in the sense that apparently because the old X-Men cartoon was connected to the Spider-Man cartoon, which had Iron Fist in it.
Right.
Apparently X-Men 97 is going to be connected to that and also like the What Ifs that came out as well. So
I was just thinking of the very famous, like because Colleen dated Scott, right? So. So.
And Iron Fist with the X-Men, there was the earlier, was it?
So that's I mean that's why. And then like there's this great team up kind of thing where there's a fight with potato salad. Very, very famous.
Yes, I know exactly. Potato salad.
You know exactly what I mean. My favorite issue keeps coming around to it. So
Mario, you're absolutely right. Cyclops did date Colleen Wing at one point, as Rebecca mentioned. Cyclops.
Did I say the wrong name? I meant Colleen.
No, I think you said Colleen. That's what I heard.
Right. Okay, good.
Who did you think you said?
I don't know. I knew I said a name with C and then just started thinking, did I say the wrong name?
No, you did mention Colleen. Yeah, so. Other than that, I mean, I don't know, Rebecca, any news? I haven't really been keeping my Finger on the
I don't think I've seen any Moon Knight news, no.
No.
I thought you meant about me, and I was like, go now. But no.
Well, yeah, definitely. If there's a news.
No, I should just tell everyone now I'm able to say it that we did lose Larky.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which is one of the reasons we had problems scheduling the last issue three was because that was around when. And so we are down a high priest. We're down an honorary high priest.
Yeah, exactly. It's really sad. And hopefully Ozzy's feeling better as well. We'll feel better.
Yeah, he's having his own little mourning. So the stress of watching him has kind of actually got us through this because it hit him a lot harder than we expected. So. Yeah,
it's amazing how, like, I mean, you don't think of it how animals do react to other animals.
You can never really know because, like, I mean, you know, Larky had been with Diesel for about as long as Ozzy's been with Larky, and she didn't really care. I mean, she cared, you know, like, eventually she was a bit down, but she didn't really care. Ozzy literally just stopped eating, and it was like, but, you know, so he's downstairs moping. We probably won't see him today, but he's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Just, I mean, you are when you do mention that, I am thinking of our two cats, Mace and Flip, and I do recall, like, you know, when say Flip is out at night, because generally both the cats come in at night. When one of them is still out, maybe just having fun or whatever, I do notice that Mace does get a little bit stressed.
Yeah, they get the like a bit. Like, I mean, I've noticed that before, but like this has been full on. Like, what is going on? You know, like, but he's back eating now, just different food. Refuses to eat the food that we have hundreds of pouches of. No,
oh, no,
you know.
Well,
any
they keep,
any
you know?
Other trash? You know, like, well, yeah, they keep. So it's fine. He's doing all right.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hopefully it all gets better soon.
We're on the right path at least.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca.
Yes.
A good way to take the mind off it would be to dive into a couple of comics. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. Okay, yes, we are doing a Moonshine, as you've seen, and again, we're going to be doing a Vengeance of the Moon Knight issues 3 and 4. Let me just get this. Oh my gosh, Rebecca, I didn't even set it up. Let me just share the screen. I do have it, but I just haven't. I usually try to share it straight away. Let me share it for you on the screen. So people catching the live feed of this, you can see Rebecca and I will go through the comic itself, and you can follow along with the visual aids. So there we go. So Vengeance of the Moon Knight, we're gonna do both, Rebecca. I mean, I don't know, how do you want to tackle? Do you want to do holistically? I thought we can actually go through maybe 3 and then 4, like, just sequentially.
Yeah let's do it. I mean, obviously, look, let's say it right up front, there's not going to be any point in pretending we've not read 4 as we read 3. If you've not read both of them, there's going to be spoilers, and we can't guarantee when those spoilers will come.
Yeah.
Like, they might come in the next 15 minutes of it, if it comes up in conversation. So
first page, Rebecca.
I mean, maybe. I wasn't going to first page it, but you could.
No, you raise a very good point there. Yeah, there will be definite spoilers out for issue 4. I mean, we've all been it's a who is it, you know, basically that we're wanting to know. We'll do that. So Vengeance of the Moon Knight issue 3. Nice cover, Rebecca.
Beautiful cover. I like the pink. Don't see that all that often on a big brutal fighty characters series.
Mm. Yeah, and there's a
like that we can get away with a bit of that.
Insinuating a bit of blood as well, you know, the pink and the red and the white. Yeah. So it looks really good.
It's a bloody cover.
It's a bloody cover. You are British, Rebecca. It's a bloody cover. That's what it is. And I was about to say, Rebecca, do you remember? And I think about this with a little bit tongue in cheek, a bit of a grin. Remember, we used to do panel by panel discussions.
Wow. I mean,
we have kind of progressed a little bit.
We've streamlined. But yes. I think it's better because it means we can discuss more of the overarching sort of stuff.
I'm just going to jump to the credits. We'll get that and then I'll get the overall impressions. So so issue 3 is Soldier. So previously we have had Reese and we have had Tigra, or as Rebecca says, Tigra. And so this one's Soldier. Writer Jed McKay, artist Alessandro Cabuccio, colorist Rochelle Rosenberg, letterer VCs Corey Pettit. We've got the cover artist, Rebecca, which we were just talking about, David Imperatore.
Yes, I like him. Like his work.
He's very good. Yeah. I don't think
I've heard of him before, so...
No,
now somebody will tell me about all the other covers he's done that I should know. I'm not very good at memorizing, but I don't think I recognize the name, but I would now keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, I would definitely will keep an eye out as well. I love that kind of, it's like painted kind of cover.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we've got variant artists as well, Baker Ruin and Matt Wilson. And we have, they are listed here. So editors Tom Brevoort, Evan Lewis, who, correct me if I'm wrong, Rebecca Rover, I totally missed the bus. Devin's coming on. Well, he's come aboard Vengeance, right? He's kind of the new editor.
Yeah.
They're kind of passing the torch.
Looks like it. Yeah, because Will is moving to other things and everyone's moving around a bit editorial. So.
Yeah. So this is obviously similar to Tigra and Reese's issues. This is very character-centric. It's based on Soldier talking to Dr. Sturman. Rebecca, what did you think overall impressions of 3?
I really like that we finally got some more characterization for Soldier that we wanted, and it's been good to see. And I mean, obviously, it was kind of, I think we all knew that this was going to be the order we got the sessions after, once we got once the first two were out of the way. I think it was clear that Hunter's Moon was going to be the fourth. So I don't think there was any surprise that this one was Soldier. Not that it would have been, because I thought there was some good mysteries in there about like who he's talking to at the bar with no name.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I'm sure somebody has done some deep scanning of the face shape of the whoever he's talking to. I have not. I haven't given it a chance to have a look at it, really.
Yeah. Can I just ask, Rebecca, that hasn't been resolved yet in issue 3 or 4?
No.
I thought maybe either that or I was extremely dumb and didn't pick up on something. But, yeah, that's still kind of dangling out there.
I mean, what's he eating? I don't know. He's eating, like, chewing a coin or eating a pretzel. I don't know what he's doing.
Who's this? What? Where's this?
I think it's the next page. Next page. There.
Oh, there. Face. Oh, yeah. I just thought the hood straight away, but that's obviously.
I mean, we always think the hood, right?
Yeah.
Like,
let's be honest.
I don't know. I mean, there's something very angular about that face. So, yeah.
He wears a glove.
Two gloves, and maybe one glove. Yeah, no, we've only seen the left hand. That's true.
Three pieces of evidence. Two gloves.
He's probably left-handed because he's eating from his left hand. We'll leave Mario to do the detective work on that. I hope it's someone really cool and not just, I don't know. I mean, look, it's good to see 8-Ball up and about and at the bar.
Yes.
We'd previously thought he was off the, being hospitalized for a bit longer.
Well, he still could have scars and black eyes and stuff.
He's up and out and about having a drink.
The big eight ball, you just can't tell.
Big eight ball on your head. I mean, maybe he's not having a drink, but he's maybe there. Not. I mean, maybe like, how does he drink? Pool. How does he drink? I hope he's not playing pool. He has either had a very big advantage or a very big disadvantage. Yeah,
exactly. Dunk his head in a pocket, he wins.
I like that you get the guy come in who's got the moon carved. That's a real callback, isn't it, to the
I was thinking the same thing. It's an indirect callback as well, but at the same time it's a good way to have Jed McKay show that Soldier's kind of a little bit pissed off that everyone keeps on mistaking this Moon Knight for the Moon Knight.
But it shows why they might, like, is like,
absolutely.
It has been known.
Well, and that actually leads to, like, just Moon Knight and his relationship with other criminals. It leads into one of the points that I had put in here as well. We shift to the Midnight Mission, and there's a gang of Scorcher, Squid, Flying Tiger. Yeah. They're all angry at Moon Knight because he's broken the truce that they had. You know, when they don't know it's a different Moon Knight. So to them, he's broken the truce because apparently they said, well, you know, I won't carve crescents into your forehead if you don't do this. But he has beaten up one of the, who was it? It's Joe the Gorilla. Yeah, he beat up on Joe the Gorilla. So he's really stepped over the line.
But he's, it's kind of weird because, like, so the one thing we don't have, and we, you know, so here's where we can start with spoilers, is even though we know who it is now, we still don't know why. And, like, why they would be then acting out by taking on essentially petty street villains. I mean, I think Joe the Gorilla's, like, a big name. It's like he's not going after, like, I don't even know who the big Madam Mask or whatever. Trying to think who I've seen active as a villain in comics recently on street level. But, you know, he's going after these, like, kind of no-hopers and smaller characters. And at least when we had Marcus Moon Knight, he was acting for people who came to the Midnight Mission. Like, that was the goal of this new setup, is like, previously he would have been going out and taking out some of these people, but now he's waiting for people to come to him to ask for help. But this guy is just randomly stepping on everyone's turf. But they're upset. They've come to, like, have it out with Moon Knight and his gang.
It's so funny. And Jed actually writes them. You get a little peek, you know, on their side of things. And, you know, villains may be, you know, nasty and mean and all this, but they seem like pretty, you know, they all shout ready, you know, at the end. And
But even like saying about heroes. Big Joe's not done a job since he got leukemia. I mean, it's like sad, you know, like there's a clear, like, what drives people to petty-ish crime, and I'm going to assume these are petty-ish crime criminals, is that, like, you know, people tend to be pushed into it for a reason, you know, like
it's kind of like that Sandman syndrome, you know, of him being the sympathetic villain of, like,
and I think Jed's very good at doing that, like, sort of humanizing some of these characters that have previously just been there to get beaten up by the heroes. And we kind of get it here as well, like, where they're like, well, this was this unspoken truce. He's broken it. We want to go have it out. But, you know, they're not going to be able to go up against, well, I mean, maybe they should be able to go up against Tigra and Soldier, but they're not very able to.
Surprisingly, it actually, because I was about to say, they're going up against the Midnight Mission as well.
Well, of course, but they may not know that the Midnight Mission is the powerhouse it is, you know.
But surprisingly, but in this action scene, I don't think the Midnight Mission acts at all, right? I think potentially
because it doesn't need to.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to think it would if it needed to.
Yeah. Well, you might have to remind me, Rebecca, as well, because that will lead me into. And I know I don't want to spoil it yet, but would lead us into. Oh no, that doesn't make sense. No, that was a truce between the Midnight Mission and Zodiac. You know,
That's interesting. What we really need to do at some point is list all these unanswered questions. But and we know Jed's very good at playing these long games, but we're still not 100% sure how long any of these series are going on.
Yeah, true.
So a little bit of trepidation with some of the things not being wrapped up.
Which is not uncommon. I remember Spider-Man loose threads.
I mean, like, they all have them. It's like, but I'm glad that the aim is lofty enough to say we'll have time to finish these things. You know, like, I always like that as a kind of, that's how you should go into it, right? Unless you're, like, really dragging things out. To drag them out.
Well, I hope they will, Jed. I hope they do give Jed enough time, and I hope he has enough time because he's doing a billion gazillion things.
He's doing a billion things, and this whole Blood Hunt thing is like huge as well. So
it's gonna take his time, but we're gonna get Hunter's Moon in Blood Hunt as well, so that's good.
That looks good. There.
I just want to call out Mario's left a live comment as well. He will be digging for that mystery villain, but he confessed he's got no idea, no theories at this point. Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask around some friends who don't read it maybe as assiduously as we always do, and say, does this ring any bells? But I mean, like, it really could be anyone. I mean, it just has to be a bad guy in New York, and like we already know how deep Jed can dive. So
yeah,
while it's fun to guess, I think we have very little to go on. I will go back to it at some point and see everything that's said in that conversation.
Yeah, it could be that point of, yeah, there just aren't enough threads to really connect any dots. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it is worth having a look and revisiting.
Yeah.
So there is a fight that happens with the Midnight Mission, the Congregation, and these villains. But what amounts to it, I guess, is I like this, what Hunter Moon says. He says the Midnight Mission exists to keep our people safe. And behind him, you see everyone in the apartment block kind of looking because there's been a huge fracas, you know, that's happened. And that's kind of going against what the whole Midnight Mission is. Like, they want to feel safe, but when there's a huge fight going on, so it's kind of like, I think they feel a little bit ashamed of what has happened. That's how I kind of took it. But it's a situation that has arisen, basically, because of this mistaken identity of who Moon Knight is. So this is something that they have to deal with. So So, again, a little call out as well to Alessandro Capuccia's art again, Rebecca.
And the colouring again. I mean, like, it's all really good. There's some great, great panels in this issue.
Especially, you know, the flying cape, the mystery Moon Knight looks really cool. Again, I have to say that the costume looks great. So it carries on, just basically Dr. Sturman and Soldier. Soldier's talking about things like, you know, it should have been him, how he should think kind of like Mark, you know, they've got the same kind of mindset. What would he do? Where would he go next? So they end up, and this ends up in this issue, this concludes this issue with them going back to, again, someone that Jed has introduced earlier on. It is in Chinatown, and it's Lady Yulan, the ancient vampire. That was a cool, it was a bit of a...
it makes sense. I mean, recent soldier vampires. We're going into Blood Hunt. We know we're getting vampires.
It's just a strange one because, like, it is. It's almost as if it was a reveal, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's all we see of her, right?
Yeah.
Like, she does help them out, and that's it. And, but you know, it's cool to see her back, I guess, because
again, I feel like I'm fairly it's cool, but I just want to see like how that plays into it before I decide how cool it is. I don't dislike that they went to her. Makes sense.
No, I don't as well.
We do see it does play out. They do find where the fake Moon Knight sleeps. So
exactly. What this was telling me when I first read this was that this is kind of like a really a tangential connection to Gang War, because Lady Yulan features in Gang War. Has a district.
We're bridging from Gang Lore to Blood Hunt. Is it interesting? We're going, is Marvel going from event to event?
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
It's never really.
I love Jed. I love Moon Knight. I'm not being disrespectful, but come on, it's kind of funny.
It is, but you know, it is really cool as well. You know, before we go on to the next issue and some comments, actually, I think Mario's got a good comment for this issue. I like seeing everyone in their new duds, you know, Soldier and in his white uniform, Reese as well.
Their little white uniforms. Really, really not practical. Like, if someone has to sit all these people down at some point and say no.
Yeah. But Tigra's got it. I mean, that is newish, her costume, right? And Hunter's Moon as well. He's kind of dappered up too. So Yeah, so pretty cool. Before we get into one of the feedback comments, Rebecca, what would you give this issue?
I quite liked it. 7.5, 8.
Okay, 7.5. Yeah, that's a very, very solid issue. Yeah. Yeah, I'd give it a 7.5, I think, as well. Again, really good writing on the characters from Jed.
I like getting to see. I like just like getting to see a bit more of Soldier. That's why I give that a lot of respect.
Well, he's been neglected, really. I mean, really. Yeah. So apart from him getting the vampire powers, we haven't really seen that much of him. It's good to see him kind of kick ass, I think, in this, because he really has been kind of the poorer cousin in the previous issues.
Yeah, he's had to sit back a lot. So
yeah. So 7.5, and Rebecca's said about 8. Yeah. I just want to call out here, Rebecca. I'll read out Mario's comment here for issue 3. Mm. He's got one for issue 4. Maybe if you can read issue 4's one when we get to it. But Mario says, since I'm not sure how you're going to do this, I'll give my comments on each issue separately. So issue 3, Soldier has always been the least well-developed of all the Moon Knight supporting cast, essentially a former evil minion who repented. After almost 3 years, we barely know anything about him except that he lives with his mother. We don't even know his real name. So with him taking the spotlight in this issue, it was interesting to see Jed dig into his character a bit. He's carrying a fair amount of anger and guilt, and the idea that he sees the mission not as a superhero team but as a gang is fascinating. Yeah, and that's actually a good point.
I like that a lot, and I think it makes sense as well. Like, it's not... It was a really interesting way to frame it, and he's kind of right about the sort of territory and how the group interacts with itself.
And someone's wearing their colours. It's very territorial kind of thing. This leads him to make deals that Mark would never consider, not only with Lady Yulan, but also with a mystery villain who I confess I have no guess on, as my first thought, Taskmaster, doesn't fit with later revelations.
Imagine if it was Sleepwalker.
I don't know.
That to be like amusing.
Or like a Morlock. I don't know. I don't know why. Anyway,
Soldier, I mean, like, he looked like Hobgoblin, but that, I think that's too high profile. So
Toad. What if it's Toad? Soldier may be on the side of the angels, but he'd be the first person to say he isn't one. I'm eager to see how his character develops. Maybe we'll even get a first name. Trevor. Mm.
Is that your guess?
I'll put it down.
I don't know many Americans called that, but like, I'm all for that. Trev.
Is that Ben Kingsley's character name? Trevor?
But he's British, even in
I just thought it was, I had his voice anyway in my head. Yeah. The art and coloring remains excellent, of course. 8 out of 10. So Mario is very much on the same wavelength as yourself, Rebecca. So listeners, definitely issue 3 is worth it, but it gets heaps. Yeah, if you can say that, it even gets better.
Yeah. Do you think it does?
In issue 4, yeah. Ooh. I mean, maybe the.
I think reveal. I'm going to be controversial about issue 4.
Anyway, I mean, let's dive into it. So we are going to look at issue 4 now. Yes, a blood red, Rebecca. This is a lot more. This is, I wouldn't say confronting, but it's
pretty cool.
It's quite full on, isn't it? Because it's just a blatant red. Hunter's Moon and the fake Moon Knight are going at it. And have we got it?
Having a fight is what Ray means there. Just for any misses.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Going at it.
I did forget. Oh, yeah,
that's why I'm here, to make the jokes.
Exactly. Absolutely. I sometimes forget we are an audio podcast as well. Probably. So actually, having said that, I like the outline of Moon Knight and Vengeance of the in purple. The purple and
To be honest, like, I think the art's fine, but I think the way it's colored and the highlighting makes it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a really good bit of art, don't get me wrong, but it's just, if it wasn't highlighted the way it is and in the colors, it just, there's something that really makes it pop. The colors, because I think it's quite hard to work with reds and blacks and without it being too severe differences, you know, like this kind of all melds, and some really nice shadows in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that using that amount of red would be quite risky, like, just because it's, I don't know, you don't see that many covers just full on red like this. Rebecca, would you be so kind as to give the credits for this one?
Yeah, let me just get the page pick up, because I don't have my issue up. Writer Jed McKay, artist Alessandro Cuspuccio, color artist Rochelle Rosenberg, letter of VC Sky Pettit, cover artist David Parator again, variants by Alexander Lozano, I love him, Elizabeth Talk, love her,
and Mateus Lopez,
Jonas Scharf, and Alex Guimaraes, I have no idea how that's pronounced, sorry, associate editor Lauren Amaro, editor Devon Lewis, and now we're fully over to Devon, and editor-in-chief CB.
Yeah, so Hunter's Moon now, this is his kind of time on the couch, so to speak. And interesting, yeah, I mean, first of all, I did find this a little strange to see, like, them swinging around in the daytime, which we know
really is odd. Makes so much sense, right? Like, I mean, we currently don't know who they're going after officially, so makes a bit of sense.
Yeah, it's good, and I like the opening. It's just a nice little action shot, and anything.
It's nice to for like Rochelle as well, I guess, to have like some daytime scenes.
give her a bit of a break.
Exactly. Oh no, it's just it's like, you know, exercise.
It's a different.
What color should I get out now?
it's a different dynamic. We're back to, we flick back and forth to Dr. Sermon's session. And immediately what we get, I think, so this is Jed kind of like, okay, I'm going to tell you now in this issue, of course. And we knew it. I mean, like, but yeah,
I think there's only so long you can really put,
exactly,
you know, drag it out for.
Yeah. But Sturman questions Batter, and Batter says, yeah, I recognize like the moves and stuff, which I think is a pretty cool way that Batter does it. Like, you know, it actually shows how dedicated he is. Like,
I think it's a little bit cheeseball, but kind of accept it that, like, I've got the memory of all these other Iron Fist. To be fair, they pulled this with Iron Fist as well. But I like it, and it works, and it works within the world Jed set up. But it's still one of those, that's kind of a little bit new to the sort of legacy of Moon Knight. And it does make sense, but it's very specific. I don't know. I think saying that he remembers him, I don't know.
Remembers the moves, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I buy it, but I'm a little bit like, it's still quite precise afterwards. Like, we all knew from Power Set, right? Once the Power Set kicked in, or once Clues to the Power Set kicked in. So, it's fine. It's fine. It's just, it was always something that makes me have to sort of remember that.
Yeah.
We've got this added little extra. And obviously, it makes sense for Bada because he wasn't res properly. He was channeling for a while. So, like, if Mark came out and said it, I'd probably have a slightly different reaction to Barda saying it, which is, you know, seems cool.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, exactly for that, I think you mentioned Jed had laid the foundation a bit about what had happened to Barda and how it's affected him. He mentions also as well that he's slowly going insane because this is the price you pay for.
I mean, we're back to the sort of like, how does being Moon Knight affect you versus, you know, like, it's not just how you affect the world, but how it affects you.
Yeah. So, obviously. Hunter's Moon is a very important piece for us as readers because he is the key to us knowing and eventuating who this Moon Knight is. Love the art as they kind of bounce around New York. I'm assuming it's New York. really not. Again, Rochelle Rosenberg, the thing about the flare, you just say at the beginning, the silhouette, this is in one of the splash pages for those just listening. The flare of the sun as Hunter's Moon and Tigra jump down, but then you see their kind of path, the sequence as they jump to some lower rooftops. And yeah, Rebecca, they, due to Lady Yulan's information, they find the hideout of the new Moon Knight, which happens to be, unfortunately, the place where Mark kind of went kaput. So,
very, very odd place to hang out, but okay.
Yeah, and this will raise questions when we get to the final reveal and this character and their motivation and their mindset and everything. I'm trawling my brain as to when I last saw.
Yeah, I literally do.
And I think I don't know if it's the latest, but I'll cite it when we get up to it. So it flicks back to Sturman as well. And we learn about, as you said, Rebecca Sturman, Barda has all these memories. What is it called? Is it the chorus? Ordination? What was it?
I think maybe
it's a chorus or something. Yeah. So Barda's got all this knowledge from the past, Fists of Khonshu, and there's a cult of Kali which they have come across before.
I mean, we get another good like cowboy Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, good. I know he's not a cowboy, but he's on really a horse. And he's got a gun. That's good enough for me. I mean, but he's just on a horse with a gun. He's not like wearing a 10-gallon hat or something.
No, he's not. And it's snowy outcrop and forest looks pretty good.
Mario has answered your question, by the way.
Oh.
Although I'd like to know which Marvel Unlimited comic.
Oh, okay. So Mario says he was last seen in the Marvel Unlimited digital. This was a while ago. Yeah, the last I saw was the Mark Waid Daredevil comic. So that was a while.
Oh, cool. I literally do not know when the last time I read anything about him.
And he was a bit, he was a bit unhinged then. So that might go a long way to explaining his actions, unless something happened in the Marvel Unlimited digital comic. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got another.
That out.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely will. A comment from the man on the streets, Tommy. Yeah,
wow.
Cavill. Hi, friends. Thank you for keeping the community alive and going strong. Hope you're both well. Yes, Tommy, we're both loving it. Hope you're going well. Hope the family's well as well. And thanks for tuning in. Farah, I think it's early for you, right? So, hope you can get some. Hope you're getting some sleep, my good sir. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, so the Cult of Kali, Rebecca. And apparently they've got a fighting style that Barda has recognized. So that is what is giving off the
Mario.
Thank you, Mario.
Thank you.
Avengers Unlimited 36. Gotta get onto that if you want to check out You Know Who coming up. So actually when this happened, Rebecca, I thought this was leaning towards our theory, didn't we theorize that the Moon Knight was like a zombified old Moon Knight?
We did, but like to be fair, I think from Vengeance 2, there was a glimpse of his power set, and once we knew we were playing Dark Force, I think everyone kind of switched to who have we not seen in ages who uses Dark Force?
Ooh. Absolutely, Cloak. Yep. So
we've seen him. I think we've seen him quite a lot more recently. But or like more regularly, anyway. But
the other one.
So
the
I mean, it's never a given because you can always develop Dark Force powers. You know, like it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
But
could be Morpheus come back with his ebon energy. Anyway,
we would like that, wouldn't we?
That would be cool. So Tigra, Hunter's Moon, they locate. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit here, Rebecca. We get a little bit of Tigra's power. She can see very well.
It's just such a great way of phrasing it. She can see really well. She has 20/20 vision.
She can read the bottom line of the.
Yeah.
And I like this. This is so cool. This is like a one-liner moment. You know, I like it when they can see me coming. So she's
taking a leaf. She's doing Mark's little phrase, which we love.
Yeah, which is nice. And you just have Hunter's Moon going, huh, at the back. It's just like, if you didn't like that, then appreciate it. It's going, oh God, you know, what are you doing? But one of the points I put in here as well was, and Jed makes a point of it just in this page, was just how fanatical, I guess, Barter is, because Sturman does kind of dance around, you know, you want to avenge Mark's death and it's because you're wearing the costume. But for you, Barter, it's not that. It's about him being the actual Fist of Khonshu, which you're against, and he is totally against it. So he's a man driven take down.
And it's not a way we viewed Mark much before this run, but it makes complete sense with this run. And I thought that was pretty cool. I'm offended that he's this thing that's important to me on a religious level.
Yeah, and you're right. You're with Mark as well, but he does pay Mark respect, saying, "Look, yeah, although he was like not totally, he still was a Fist of Khonshu, so he had that respect for him." So yeah, I'd like, you know, the values that Barter is showing. I think it's really good. Anyway, so we finally get to it, Rebecca. Stop beating around the bush here. Our Moon Knight's just having a bit of a kip. Just on the bed, as you do. And here, someone trips the thermal sensors or the motion sensors. Okay, he says. And it's Hunter's Moon and Tigra. And again, then we get this kind of purple Dark Force energy.
It's a pretty cool.
It looks very cool.
It does look pretty cool. Yeah.
Whoever buys that page, you know.
Yeah.
Good on you. That's great. And so we're getting closer and closer. Again, Barter mentions here, this is pretty cool as well, about how, because, you know, Khonshu's incarcerated and what have you. Barter, you know, he's afraid of dying for the first time because
he can't be resurrected.
Yeah. There's going to be no other more Fists of Khonshu, something that he absolutely values, like, deep to his core. And he's got this kind of boob walking around in a costume, with a Fist of costume. So he, you know, he's absolutely, you know, he's not happy at all. So anyway, they have a bit of a tussle, but I love it here. Hunter's Moon knows his every move, almost kind of like, as he goes, "Are you reading my mind?" No. I just know how you fight. And he, you know, they attack him from both ends. Rebecca, are we getting to it now, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then we get a few more clues as well, Tiger, just before we get the reveal. Oh, I know why you sprayed me with pepper spray. It wasn't actually to cover your escape. It was you didn't want me to smell you because...
Which is such a great comment. You didn't want me to smell you. Okay.
But because they have a close association before, and Hunter's Moon takes off the mask, and it is
the cloak. Shroud.
It's Shroud, yes. It's Max. I can't remember his last name, but
I mean, it's I'm pretty sure Mario, Mario has definitely posted it before.
Yes, such a Shroud. I mean, So many a gazillion questions now come up, Rebecca. Why is he acting the way he is? He is a former West Coast Avenger. That's why Tigra knows him. That's why Moon Knight knows him. Why has he decided to take over Moon Knight's mantle? But why is he going about it the way he's going about it?
Because what's his beef? What is his beef?
Yeah.
Why is he doing that and then going after Small Fry?
Is he trying to besmirch Moon Knight's name? I mean, is he also going out as the Shroud as well? You know,
is he so jealous of like religious fervor? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, because also
tune
as
in
well...
in the next few issues of Blood Hunt.
But also, I mean, remember that the main MO for the Shroud is that his whole gig, at least in the '80s, you know, was that he was like an undercover kind of superhero, right? He pretended to be a villain, like, and he was in the God, what are they called, the night shift. He was in the night shift.
Yeah, he's a big night. Oh, that's who I could go talk to. My night shift fan.
Yeah. Yes. And so he was, and he at one stage, I remember because we did cover it on the show ages ago. He did ask Moon Knight. I wonder if Jed's going to pick on it anyway. He asked Moon Knight if he wanted to join, I think, the night shift, I think.
Mm.
So anyway, I don't know. There's plenty of questions. Rebecca, what did you make of this this reveal?
I think once, like I said, once the Dark Force was in play, it was always very likely. I feel let down that we have no motivation yet. I feel that perhaps this is now, for me, dragged on a little bit. Like, I'm fine with having it revealed in this issue. I would rather it wasn't revealed right at the end, so we know no reason why he's been doing that, and we know we're going straight into Blood Hunt. And I just feel like I would have liked to have some motivation in there.
Yes.
Any motivation.
Well, hopefully.
Like, I still think it was very well done. And, you know, like, I like the insight we get into Barda, that reminder that he's a religious, that he's very religious, and that he would see Moon Knight very differently than how everyone else sees Moon Knight. But yeah, I wish we had a little bit more like that. Like, why is it him? Why is he sleeping where Mark was killed?
Yeah.
Just a few, like, what's going on? Because now I'm just worried that we won't find out until Blood Hunt's over. And I think that's, I mean, like, I don't know that. Like, I hope that's not true, because I think that would be too much of a hiatus of story.
Yeah, I'm hoping next we find out straight away. But yeah, I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from as well. It could be something that you just want the kind of the answers now. The reveal has been made.
Even if it was just one of them, like, even if you just said, yeah, I hated Mark, I'm Moon Knight, or yeah, Mark deserved this, or just like some kind of inkling of, or I have a plan. And then I want to know what's going on with Zodiac. I want to know, like, what Zodiac did with the Midnight Mission. I'm starting to want to at least pick up the threads, even if we don't find the full answers.
No, that's fair enough.
I may have just been, like I said, I've not had the greatest couple of weeks. So it may just have been that when I read it, I wasn't in the best frame of mind. But I still would have liked one piece of motivation. I said, even if I upped my view of everything else, I would have liked to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just him to say something rotten about Mark, or, you know, Mark annoyed me, so I'm going to do this.
Rebecca, we may have to trek back to Avengers Unlimited 36
I'm
see.
Going there. I'm like literally going to go,
because it might have all the answers. It might have like the Shroud.
It's unlikely. Like, I mean, I think we'd know if he'd talked about Moon Knight a lot, or because I think Mario and others would probably have raised it. It's, you know, we have a lot of people who are watch out for any mention of Moon Knight or appearance of Moon Knight, and
that's true.
So I'm guessing that isn't the answer, and that Jed wouldn't do that to us, because like the whole point is that the answer should be within the story you're getting. And hopefully we won't have to. Hopefully it will come next issue, and Blood Hunt will just be in the background a bit until they kick off on Blood Hunt a bit more.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, absolutely. Sorry, Mario, just cleaning up some loose ends here. Max Coleridge, I was almost there. I did say Durbridge. Durbridge is my colleague. I knew it ended in Idge.
I was going to tell your colleague. You're like calling them a Marvel villain.
So Max Coleridge as well. He never, Mario, just say he never actually was a wacko, but he was allied with them. That was in Solo Avengers 3. Yeah. Look, I'm more entitled to believe you, Mario, as well. I thought there's that issue with Taurus, where Moon Knight fights him on the plane, where the Shroud is kind of heckling him to, I think, join the West Coast Avengers. That's why I assumed he was a wacko, but he might be.
I mean, allied with them is kind of good enough.
Yeah, he like, might be just, you know, a very
to still want to know
follower.
Why the bad blood, do you know?
Yeah. So the Shroud, like, wow. And I'm very excited because the Shroud does have ties with Spider-Woman as well in the classic Volume 1 issue. He's a great character, I think. We've talked about him a lot. I know Russell, a fellow podcaster, loves the Shadow, and the Shroud is very much kind of like a riff off that. So, yeah. Rebecca, do you want to... we should give our ratings first before we go into... we do have a couple of comments in,
yeah,
I think. So you gave 8 for issue 3. What would you give issue 4?
Got to think about it. I would give it
7.5. Okay, that's all right. That's pretty good.
Yeah. There's no bad here. There's just a little bit of... I wish it had gone a bit further.
Yeah, fair enough. No, yeah, that's all right. I totally understand. I would bump it up. I'd give it an 8 for me. Only because we've got some juicy bits of
really an extension of the lore stuff as well.
Yeah. Barda stuff. Yeah. And like the lore again. I mean, so Jed, he's built this up and he's now brought in the Cult of Kali. And I'm just wondering as well, maybe there's something Mario, our trusty, Looney can find it, but like the Cult of Kali, so obviously the Shroud is affiliated with that. If he's got the fighting style of it, I know he's got such a weird history, so that might be a pull. Actually, the Cult of Kali might be a pull from the 80s or 70s that Jed's talking about, where the Shroud kind of originated from. So he's actually tying them together with the Fist of Khonshu, which is pretty cool. I'm not too sure, but many questions. I'll give it an 8. I think it's great. I think the reveal was fun. Loonies have theorized everything under the sun, so it was going to be right one way or another. We threw 1,000 things at the wall, so yeah, so it was good. Yeah. Enjoyed that. So have you got a Mario's comment there for issue 4?
Issue 4, Mario. Well, my third guess was right. In all fairness, though, the revelations from issue 2 and the Blood Hunt preview made it almost a certainty, at least to a mind like mine. The Spotlight and Hunter's Moon was fascinating in its own way. People of strong faith are often poorly characterized in comics, and indeed Barda himself came off a bit one note at the beginning. But in many ways, this issue was the culmination of his arc, showing how he can be a loyal Fist of Khonshu, but still realize that compromise and acceptance can further his ultimate goals. And yet, he's still motivated more by his zeal than grief. I would not have guessed that. If I had one quibble, it's that I expected the issue to go a bit further and show MK 2.0 exploding with dark force as he does in Blood Hunt. But I can certainly see why Jed ended on the river of who the new Moon Knight is. Of course, we still don't know why. Except for that one quibble, I thought the issue was great. 9.5 out of 10.
Wow. A big one. A big one there for Mario. And Mario, thank you. You have also confirmed... Yeah, Cult of Kali is who gave him his powers and brand. Yeah, so it did sound familiar. It is an old thing. A deep cut, again, from Jed. But no, thank you. Thank you, Mario, for those comments. There is just one other comment as well. Just want to call it out. A nice, quick, short one, Rebecca, from Guy Green.
Off
Facebook as well. Sorry.
I'll do it. I like the reveal and wish I thought of who it was staring at you in the face when you think about it. Yeah.
Yes. With the energy.
Staring you in your face, if you know the Dark Force things and picked up on it. But yeah, I mean, I think to give us no clue. So I was thinking about this a little bit, like that if the reveal felt like a bit of a letdown after all the speculation and stuff. And I mean, there's two ways Jed could have gone, given us no clues whatsoever. Or given us clues and we'd have guessed it somehow, right? Because we've already guessed everyone who's been in Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Like not Abel, because he's a good boy now. But like we've already guessed all the, like, the Zodiac, this person, that person. It could be a bit like Scarlet, like this kind of manifestation of Moon Knight. It could be Mark resurrected but wrong. We've gone through everyone that we actually have hints for, so unless we're pushed in another direction, and that would almost have been too surprising. Like, this guy's out on the street, somebody will have seen his power set. So I think this was the best way to do it, but I can understand how people either very surprised, because if you if you're not really up on that part of Marvel and you're not reading it, to look out for those kind of little clues. Because until somebody said, oh, they mentioned his power set, I had to go back and reread it. So, I mean, like, when I first skimmed the issue, I didn't, like, pick up on it. But as soon as I went back to issue two, I was like, oh, yeah, they did. They, like, I think Jed did all right. I think, like I said, the only thing I would have liked is any kind of hint as to why this was going on. I'm assuming we're going to get that. And, you know, like, it's not like I don't trust that we'll get that. I do think we'll get that. And that will be cool. And I'm looking forward to it. Because I want to know how much I have to dislike him or like him for what he's doing. So, you know.
Well, no, yeah, I really do enjoy it. And, yeah, it's been so much fun, Rebecca, going through these two issues with you. Yeah. It just always adds just another perspective when you go through it and you discuss it openly with others as well, similar to
yeah, it's been Mario. Really nice to have Mario and Thomas pop in. And
Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. A weird time for us, so.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, can't wait. And we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll see. Stay tuned. Listeners, I think that is endorsement enough to check it out. I mean, look, anyone who's listening to this has probably been following both series, so don't really need to sell it to you. But if you're a first time, if you somehow stumble onto this, check it out. It's Moon Knight has been going great guns for a reason. I think Jed and Alessandra have been doing so well in the past series and in the series coming up. So in the series currently. So it's really good. It's really fun to talk about.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens now. A little bit, you know, of trepidation about going into an event, but
yeah,
it's an event Jed's in charge of, like, and that worked out all right for the last event we had a crossover with, so so quite a lot of faith there, so
me too. I think it should be good. I'll definitely be trying to pick up as much as I can. I mean, there's so much content out there, Rebecca, it's hard to get everything, but I do love Jed's work, and let's see where we go from there. Rebecca, I think that about wraps us. Thank you so much for. I know you're a little bit under the weather. Same here as well.
But we're both a bit sickly.
A bit sick, but could not do this. It's been, and I'm grateful that we have. Anything you want to give a shout out, spectacle wise?
DCAU, we're getting towards the end of the released films, and nice. We just did War World, so a lot of fun.
Awesome. And I will be recording more episodes with Saren for Spider-Woman to know as to fear her soon. I think we're a couple of issues behind as well on that one. Predator and Prey, be catching up with Justin there to go through the latest and greatest from Ed Brisson's The Final Hunt, which is good as well. So, listeners, thank you so much. A big thank you to our patroonies again. You guys are brilliant. Thank you so much for keeping us propped up. And thank you for the likes of those keeping us, keeping our community active on the social media platforms. You can contact us on feedback@itkmoonlight.com. We've got a website, itkmoonlight.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, YouTube, Discord, Blue Sky. We're all on there. Drop us a line. Yeah, drop us a line. Let us know. I'll try to get on there a bit more often, and I'll try to, have a good old chat. It is good. Other than that, Rebecca?
Yeah, that's it. So I hope everyone has a good couple of weeks, and next issue is start of May. So
yes, so we'll see you around for the next new issue, next Moonshine. But until then, may Conchi watch over the denizens of the night. Catch you later.
Moon Knight and affiliated characters, stories and events are properties of Marvel Characters Incorporated. Materials used and discussed within the podcast are intended for critique and review purposes only under the fair dealing concept of the current Copyright Act. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of the copyright owners.